Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Oh! See? I just can't stand!
Yeet!
It's about time you did something right!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Ooh, nothing! Don't get me an ooh! I'll tell you an ooh!
Hey, go fuck yourself! Get that guy out of here!
Shut up, bitch!
Acknowledge me!
Yeah!
Hey, you big idiot!
Damn!
I'm your leader now, kid.
Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, we had 3 weeks, good grief, 3 weeks till WrestleMania 41, and the road to WrestleMania is hot through Europe. My name is Jason Block. I am your host for the NAWC at 5-1. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Josh Henniger. Stat Boy, how are you doing, kid?
I am tired, but then things have been a little bit weird today.
Yes, but aren't we all, and of course from the other side of the planet, who is jealous he is not in all those European crowds, Shane Bad News Beeman. How are you, sir?
Yes, doing well, but apparently we're going to be getting another trip over here in Australia this year, so I'm looking forward to that.
And hopefully, maybe they'll do a live Raw, like at midnight or something. Who knows? Apparently,
it's going to be a whole week-long event, from what I've heard. It's going to be a pay-per-view, Raw, and SmackDown, so we'll wait and see.
Hmm. Okay, then before we go into this, I have been checking, Snapboy,
yes,
about the WrestleMania 41 events, okay?
Ooh, yeah, you gave me that link earlier, and holy crap.
There are wrestling cards for a week before WrestleMania.
I am not that terribly surprised, to be honest with you.
Right, and then there are also podcasts the week that, you know, from the 15th to the 22nd. And they've added more stuff, including, what was it, the Roast of WrestleMania. They're going to bring so many events and so much money into Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to be going absolutely crazy because I know we talked about it a fair bit last week, but things are really starting to come together and hoo-wee!
It's nuts. Like, for example, it starts on the wrestling side. Yeah. With Micro Richard Wrestling on Tuesday, April 15th.
Yes.
And then you have Game Changer Wrestling associated with the WWE for their ID Championship Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tons of other companies, including New Tradition Lucha Libre, Colorado Wrestling Connection, Big Valley Wrestling, Dragon Gate, Defy, Oasis Pro, Pandemonium Pro. Now, I have to ask you, Shane, do you think this is one of the jump the shark moments where wrestling fans like us are getting priced out of actually going to wrestling shows?
From what I've read, yeah, a lot of bad pricing is going on at the moment, which is stopping people from going to wrestling shows. I actually just read a report that 41's doing like worse ticket sales than
it's a little strange that I know what you're aiming at, but the thing is we're still 3 weeks out.
I know we're still 3 weeks out, but come on, man, like we're like, I'm pretty sure tickets were on sale, like on sale QuickSmart when they announced, like, Taker versus HBK or Hogan versus Rock. Like, It's the matter of fact is we only got like our we got one big event, which was Cena and Rhodes.
Yeah.
But the latest one only just got announced this past week, which was which has been now confirmed to be the main event of night one.
Yeah, pretty much a guarantee.
Which we'll get to. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. Now I actually found some stats on now according to Julian Weeks, who is a pretty good guy and I don't think is really anybody too bad. I'm going to put this in the chat, okay?
Okay.
So you all can see this. And I'm using my phone, but I'm using the chat for...
Yeah, I can tell.
Okay, sorry about that. So, here's the interesting thing. WrestleMania 41 has already sold 92,000 tickets. Okay?
That would be between the two nights.
Right. But it would be third highest tickets sold since Mania in the last 40 years. And if you single night attendance is bigger since 37. Okay?
Yes. However, you've got to remember, until Mania 38, it was always a one-night event.
Mm-hmm.
So 92,000, that's a bit disingenuous in part. I would divide that by two and get a true number.
Right, and also, remember, Allegiant Stadium, according to him, is not as big as Lincoln Financial. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and again, I'm not worried about them. They're all, put it to you this way, Las Vegas is going to get an influx of between, if we go back to WrestleMania 40, was it the city income, right? Revenue. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. It generated a live gate of $40 million in ticket sales. Okay. Just the live. Okay. And they're going, and what is this? The about $100 million into the city? Like, for example,
wouldn't surprise me considering all the shows going on, all the normal stuff that happens, and then on top of all that, of course, Mania, which will despite it being about 20,000 less if they sell out compared to the last two Manias, it'll probably be higher ticket prices per.
Right, and again, money, right now, after Endeavor took over in 40, okay, they've been a fucking money-making machine, okay? Yeah. Okay, they have, and they will continue to do so. And as long as the Europeans pay, and as long as the Americans pay, they're not going to lower prices.
Yeah.
They're not.
I mean, we might wind up seeing a little bit of worry and fear this year cropping up. I know you might not agree with me, Jason, but...
Are you talking about the economy, or are you talking about the fact that WWE is pricing themselves out of existence? Or a little...
More of the first, but not exactly.
Okay, let me hear what you got.
It's more of the whole fears of... You know, how, you know, the United States are currently treating foreigners, especially those who want to exercise their First Amendment rights.
I'm not so sure about that. I really believe right now, if and only if. I mean, again, I am not worried about that part. I'm more worried about just the average price of tickets.
Yeah, because I would want to see how much tickets currently are over on TicketSlave.
Where? To what? To WrestleMania 41?
Yes. They should still have tickets available, I think.
All right. WrestleMania 41 tickets.
Ah, there you are. I'll do the night one ones.
I'll do night two.
Okay.
WrestleMania Saturday. Well, they had the two-night combo, WrestleMania Saturday, yes. WrestleMania Sunday. Which one do you want me to do? Sunday?
Go do Sunday. I've got Saturday here. Okay, the absolute cheapest that is currently still available is $200. However, that's in a section that's so high up and so far away that you're essentially... It isn't just merely you're going to get a nosebleed. It's a... Everything's going to be ant-sized.
Unless you watch the...
The Trons at that point.
Right. The lowest pool that we have here is $210. Okay? $220, yeah. Actually. Okay?
Yeah. I have two seats of $210 and a seat of $200.
Right. And I have... I have tickets that are $10,000, like for the best seats in the house right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. $10,000 standard admission.
Yeah. The highest I am seeing right now is 85. No. Hi. This has to be higher. Yep. $10,000.
$10,000. That's a little much, Shane, isn't it? Yeah. $10,000? $10,000 US? It's a little much. But
he'll be back in just a moment.
Hang on,
Jason.
Sorry.
Oh.
Okay. I'm here. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, convert that to Australian, that's like nearly god 15,000. getting a mortgage out of my house to get, go to
yeah.
Mania. Like,
for that, the most expensive seat for you there, Shane, it is just a shade under $16,000.
Australian.
Damn.
Yes.
Yep.
The cheapest, okay, it's plausible, but you're going to be essentially not being able to see a thing. It's 317 Australian dollars.
It's a little nuts, really.
Yeah.
And this is something I think the WWE has to worry about. Because if they're pricing the lower fans out of existence, it's going to be like football, baseball, and all sports, where only the rich can afford to see it and everyone else can watch on TV. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. However, let's move to things that happened this week. And again, we're still in Europe. And I think we're going to be in Europe for one more show on Monday.
Raw is going to be out of London this coming Monday. And then they finally head home.
Yes, and that's been a long tour. So again, we start with Wayne John Cena coming up.
Yes.
Okay. And in Scotland, by the way. And
at the OVO.
At the OVO. And I watched this thing, and the main gist of the promo after all this, you know, after he's saying, you know, the crowd's making it easy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says he's going to win at Mania and take the title home to ruin wrestling so that they can make a new toy belt. CM Punk on line one. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank 2011. But I've been watching this for 2 weeks, and while I respect John Cena going into this, this is the wrong tack he should be taking. I kind of
understand what you're aiming.
Like, Josh, this is what I would have liked him to say. You know? Look, Dwayne and I are friends. Let me give you an basic idea. Dwayne and I are friends. We're Hollywood movie. You know, we're movie stars. We're rich as hell. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the WWE. I mean, Dwayne calls me up and says, "Look, you want to go and retire? You know, retire. Let's do it this way." And I took the. You know, I sold my soul because I can't do it anymore. I'm almost 50. So I took the easy way out. hustle, loyalty, respect was, if he said hustle, loyalty, and express was just a phrase to make money on a t-shirt, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Don't
nowadays, it is no hustle, no loyalty, and no respect for the business.
Right. Okay, what do you think would have made this heel turn better outside of kicking Cody in the, you know?
Outside of this, I mean, realistically, I get where Cena's going with this. Cena's like, he's basically doing the exact same thing that he did at Elimination Chamber. He's going down the, I've been here for so many years. You guys have not given me any respect. I am owed something. So instead of asking for permission, I'm just going to take it. And he pretty much said the exact same thing with the 17 title situation. He said, I'm going to take number 17, and I'm going to remove Ric Flair from history.
Right.
Remove Ric Flair from history, and you will forever be saying the name of John Cena. So his goal is pretty much he's not going to ask fans to praise him. He will demand fans to praise him for being a 17-time world champion.
Mm-hmm.
I get it too. But Josh, where would you have liked to have seen Cena go with this? Because these past 2 weeks have been, I mean, I get some of the stuff, like, there are flashes of brilliance within the promos, but it's not consistently good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Honestly, it would have started with the presentation. Cena wearing the essentially the same stuff he's worn now for most of the last 15-ish years.
Right.
The same music for the last 20. That just isn't it. He should have had different music. He should have had a different look. And ultimately, go ahead, Shane.
I was just saying, I actually disagree. With what he said the first night he came out, that was Chef's Kiss. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Right.
Because that was, it's like, what do we get? You get here's a true. He went like full Charlie in the Chocolate Factory on us, ladies and gentlemen. It's like you get nothing, you lose. You get no new entrance. You get no new freaking this. you get me because I'm not here to please you idiots anymore. I'm doing things my way.
I respect both sides, but there's got to be something a little different.
Yes.
If I was Cody Rhodes and somewhere a man had just kicked me in the nuts, got me a black eye from some friggin' rap artist asshole.
Yeah.
and everything. Travis Scott, I would have personally gone a lot more personal. Like Cody hasn't jumped over that personal boundary yet, and that's what we're missing. We need something a bit more personal. Like he touched on the whole hustle, loyalty, and respect thing. If I was doing a promo, he was Cena, I would have said, "Look, congratulations, Cena. Yes, you hustled us. You hustled us all for 20 plus years. You've hustled us into believing that you're a good guy when realistically you're an arrogant, selfish asshole. But here's the thing. You can't say you have loyalty because we've all heard about your past relationships. I mean, look at your first wife. Your first wife, you weren't loyal to her. We've got a few ladies in the back that can vouch for that. And then as for give up, well, you practically gave up by selling your nuts and your soul to Dwayne, who you roasted here on this show multiple times to be Dwayne's bitch. So
yes, that's exactly yes.
Yeah.
That's what we need. we need a little bit of harsh shit, you know?
Yes.
We need Cody. I mean, Cody's a good guy, but he needs to roast John Cena. He's like, what's like the worst movie he's done? You know?
John Cena?
You know,
worst movie Cena's done? Ooh.
That's a lot of them,
The worst one that I'll say that he probably did was his first one, The Marine. And even like Dwayne had a shot at that originally, saying they would torture people in Iraq by having them watch The Marine. It's like,
actually make them watch Fred the movie.
Right, or something. He needs to attack John on a personal level. Yes. Like, okay, how about this? You know, he could say something like, you know what? We all need to be Make-A-Wish kids. We'll make a wish and have you get out of here permanently. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, you know? You know, something that will kick him in the balls.
Yes, but
rhetorically.
Yes.
Yes, but here's the thing too, and this is what I haven't liked the past two weeks. This is where I agree with some parts of the IWC with this. I don't know whether they're doing it on purpose or if they're trying to do it as part of Cena's character, if he's not going to give the fans what they want. But we're not seeing the same Cena who can roast a guy on the microphone. He's letting Cody lay shreds in, like, well, not really lay shreds into him, but lay into him. But he's not retorting. He's not saying, oh, that's great, Cody. Because once I'm done beating you and friggin' becoming the 17-time world champion, you'll be back to doing cartwheels and being Stardust and shit. Like, he going down, personal avenue or, like, Or how about I come and put down your dog Pharaoh or something like that? Like going personal.
Exactly. They need to get personal. It doesn't feel right. But anyway, more IWC stuff that people don't like. You know, the Uso. Everyone was going, who's going to be Jey Uso's partner? His brother? Wrong call. Should have been Joe Hendry. In Scotland for one match, should have been, but then,
after the match and they beat A-Town Down Under, Gunther comes in like a coward and attacks him.
Yes, and then Gunther is going to go against Jimmy next week.
There was something a little bit more to this situation.
Go for it.
Because if you've seen in another segment, Jimmy and Jey were talking on a set of stairs with Jimmy trying to give Jey a pep talk.
Right.
Gunther overheard everything, decided to be a little, you know, his usual belittling self. And then Jimmy pretty much said, what did a five finger say to your face?
Okay.
Ah, slap.
Okay.
Yeah. I like what they're doing with Jimmy. I like what they're doing with Jey. They're trying to build him up as this underdog that he's got to overcome. He's got to overcome Gunther, and that's why he's making these mistakes, like making these little slip ups here and there. So, because he's not getting his head in the game, and he needs to get his head in the game if he wants to beat Gunther. I like that, but you also need to make him seem like a credible threat to Gunther as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Now, I'm sorry, I don't like this build at all. I really don't. So, Io Sky is going to fight Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship on Raw with Bianca as guest ref, because Rhea...
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We now join our regularly scheduled program, already in progress.
So, the build that I'm not liking also right now is the Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Bianca Belair triple threat. Because Rhea Ripley is acting like something that she isn't, which is a whiny bitch.
Okay? Yes, that is a giant problem.
And Rhea's her character, Rhea, is so much better than all of this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, to me, I just want to see her be a kick-ass and not say, I signed a contract and therefore I'm in. You know, please. That's just not the right call. You know? I mean, we're all going to get the triple threat. We all know it's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be set up this coming week with Io Sky versus Rhea for the title with Bianca's special guest ref.
Right. It's going to be meh. Okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be a clusterfuck to get the gold.
Yep. Of course it is.
Yeah, I mean, I have to ask you, Josh. Okay.
Yes.
Did you watch the debut of El Grande Americano, or at least
seen a little bit here and there. I did see the opening vignette, so to speak.
The AI video with the Gulf of America. I laughed my ass off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you laughed your ass off, and I was like, that's not a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Because what it is that it's going to offend the right people and tickle the other people, in, because everybody knows. It's not, see, the thing is that it's not like, it's the same thing like Mr. America. Everybody fucking knows it's Chad Gable in a lucha mask.
Yes.
Okay? Everybody knows it. But Shane, it's funny. It's fucking funny.
Oh, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. I've always thought that it's humorous. I think it's just obviously Lucha Libre traditionalists that are finding it offensive. But everyone's going to find something offensive in wrestling. Like it's just part and parcel of the product.
Yes, exactly. It's part and parcel. Yeah, it is. You know? And of course, now, CM Punk, of course, did a promo where he was pissed off with Rollins, who called him a diaper piss baby, really.
Yes,
who screwed
really.
Punk in the Elimination Chamber. And of course, Roman Reigns, because Paul Heyman's relationship with Punk. Now, can we skip the SmackDown and the main event?
Yes, let's skip to that real quick, because Roman came out and signed the contract, no problem. Then Rollins came out and acknowledged that while, yes, they do have history together, he also wasn't terribly, you know, thrilled for Reigns for letting Punk back in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then Punk comes out and then, yeah, things start getting real interesting because Punk reads over the contract. And Heyman assured Punk that he got everything he wanted, including the main event slot, which will be Night One's main event.
It is confirmed Night One's main event. And Punk was legit crying, and Punk, you know, Heyman was kissing him on the cheek like he was a boy. And Roman was looking at him going, the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Seth was really pissed.
Yes.
You know, sort of a work shoot. And he said, you know, he's like, he doesn't deserve it. I'm gonna paraphrase, you know, the language. This motherfucker does not deserve it. I hate his guts. He can go fuck himself. He doesn't deserve the main event. But then everyone signs, and then he goes, Punk goes, thank you, Tribal Chief. I acknowledge you.
Big dog. Yeah.
And by the way, we've got a great smile out of
yeah,
Roman. And then by the way, he said, oh, and by the way, Paul, this isn't the favor I requested. This ain't it. And the crowd went.
Yeah, no, because Roman said prior to that, Roman said, "Well, here you go. You got your favor. You're in the main event of Mania. Congratulations." And then that's when Punk did the whole "Congratulations to you, my tribal chief, friggin' big dog," and all that. And he said, "But that's not the favor." And everyone went, "Oh shit."
Yep.
So, what do you think the favor is? Because I've heard many different ideas. Mm-hmm. Okay, of this. I've heard that if Punk wins, he gets into night two.
That's what I think the favor is. I know Punk's pulling double duty. He's pulling double duty somewhere. He's either the favor is either going to be where he either gets added to the Gunther Uso match, or he gets added to Cena Rhodes on night two, and he becomes the first man in history to main event back-to-back Mania main events.
Cody did it twice.
Yes.
I'm talking about.
Cody,
that would be correct. Yeah, because Cody was part of that tag team match night one, and then he was part of the main event night two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right. So that would not be the first time someone did that.
Yeah.
No.
Because, 39 was the first two-nighter, or 38 was the first two-nighter?
38.
Okay. I mean, technically, you could say Pat McAfee was. But, not in the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he gets added to Cena and Rhodes, though, because, one, it's not going to make sense brand-wise due to the fact that Punk is a Raw superstar and this is for a SmackDown title. And then IWC is going to flip their friggin' lids and be like, but he's a Raw star, so what does that do with the World Heavyweight Championship and everything like that? But then I've got a problem if he gets added to like Jay and Gunther earlier in the night, because then I feel like we don't get 100% fresh Punk during the main event.
I don't think that's happening. I think it's the night two thing. I think it has to be the night two.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, he's got history with Cena as well. So it's got to be. I think that's where he goes. I think that's where the favor is. And I'll even throw in a better bonus that Paul Heyman, he's his manager for the night. He's
become
man for the night.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. I'll make a prediction right now. Then, if that is what's going to happen, then I think the favor is going to be a two-parter. Then.
Okay.
The favor is going to be a two-parter. One is getting him into that match, but the second is having a conversation with Nick Aldis to transfer him to SmackDown for Rhodes or whoever.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Loser of this match leaves SmackDown. There you go.
That'll work. There we go. And okay, but the thing is that that is going to be the main event, and Punk is really and again, Punk, if you've been watching all these interviews he's been doing, like on Stephanie's Places, I'm telling you, there's a different man there. There's a legit different man. I mean, the promo, he even used the words, "I work with children."
Yeah.
I mean, good.
There've been a couple of little sly references to AEW, like the work with children one, and then what happened with McIntyre on SmackDown,
and also the Ethan Page Ricky Starks moment on NXT. He goes, "Oh, you can go back. Oh no, you can't. You burn bridges everywhere you go."
Wasn't that Sean Spears? And
oh yeah, Sean Spears. I'm sorry, right? Sean Spears. Yes. That's right. Yeah, Sean Spears. "Oh, you burn bridges everywhere you go." And I bet you that, you know, after the cameras are cut. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know they couldn't hold themselves together.
Yeah.
So the main event was Penta and Braun Breaker for the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
And the Judgment Day was trying to recruit Penta. Penta eventually said no way. And of course, Judgment Day is on top to close the show. But you know what? He's gonna have somebody helping out real soon.
Yep, his brother is coming.
Legit brother.
Yes, they are true brothers.
Okay. Penta is coming into Penta's coming to SmackDown. So, NXT had a really good, I mean, she can't do this every week, but Stephanie Vaquer both won two matches to defend both her belts, and I think she did a very good job both times. And, of course, Jordynne Grace confronts Stephanie Vaquer. I think that'll be your main for Stand and Deliver.
Apparently Julia made a return at a house show, so she might not be that injured. So we might get a triple threat at Stand and Deliver of Julia versus Stephanie Vaquer versus Jordynne Grace.
Okay.
Winner take all, do you think?
I don't want to do winner take all. I have a feeling Stephanie is going to be pulling double duty at Stand and Deliver, so she'll face like Kalani Jordan or someone for the North American title earlier in the night.
So you think Trick's going to turn heel at Stand and Deliver? Because I do.
Yes, it's looking very strongly like he is. And it's because of, what's that group's name again?
Dark State, I believe.
Dark State.
I believe you're absolutely right, Josh. I think he's going to be shown to be the leader of Dark State.
Yes, that sounds about right.
And I love, and you know what? Let's see what Trick does. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because Javon Evans is the next real good face right now. Maybe. We have a lot of heel guys in there. We've got, Lexus King is a heel.
Yes.
Eddie Thorpe is a heel.
Yeah.
Who are the other big guys?
All Ego Ethan Page is sure as hell a heel.
Is a heel. There's also the Culling. You need some new face guys. A couple of people need to turn face. I just don't know who yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
agreed. We'll
see. So SmackDown last night again was from another hot crowd. in London.
Yep, at the O2.
At the O2. Cody Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, which was great.
Yes.
Randy Orton gives Cody props and says, look, man, I'm coming for you. I'm being out. Of course, Drew comes out, calls Orton and Rhodes nepo babies, mm-hmm. and he calls Damian Priest a Timu Undertaker. I like that. That's awesome.
Almost correct. It's bisexual, but close enough.
Close enough. Street Profits retain. Now, this is interesting. Okay? Mm-hmm. We've got a new section of the WWE, and I need to talk about this. There are lots of places you could go with this. So they're going to induct a match for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's going to be the double turn, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, and they're both going to accept, making, what is it, Bret Hart a three-timer, right?
Yes, and Stone Cold a two-timer.
Bret Hart for the Hart Foundation, singular, and now this, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll start
that's
with
right.
you, Josh. Give me five matches that could be inducted.
Hell in a Cell, you know, Taker Michaels.
The story ends at WrestleMania 28, that one?
No, I'm talking about the original Hell in a Cell from 97 or 98, one or the other.
Ooh, yeah, Bad Blood.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a WrestleMania.
Debut of Kane.
Okay, yeah. Debut of Kane. All right.
Can't do that one. For obvious reasons, I'm mentally just trying to roll it. Savage Steamboat Mania 3.
Correct. That's an obvious one. Okay.
Yes. Can't do that one.
How about Undertaker Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25 and 26?
Sure.
Okay.
What the hell was that? Sure.
Second. I was
Two of the greatest wrestling matches.
Shane, I'm trying to think. Thinking's hard,
yes, especially almost midnight East Coast. I'm just also talking like certain.
What about the robbery of the century? Seth Rollins first winning the world title 10 years ago.
WrestleMania 31, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, that's in a moment. But, of course, you'd have to bring Brock back, and I don't know if he's persona non grata or not. Okay.
Mm.
I mean, you know, you could also have, and all three teams are there if Tony Khan left them, WrestleMania X7, TLC 2, Edge and Christian Hardy, and Dudley's.
And what about, say, oh dear, I just had a match. Oh, there it is again. Cena Punk, Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah, sure.
That roller coaster of a match.
Absolutely. That is definitely a Hall of Fame match. But yes. WrestleMania 13, the double turn, that actually technically wasn't the main event. That mm-hmm. was the main event was Sid Undertaker.
Yes.
But it turned into the main event and one of the most iconic pictures of the blood dripping down from Steve Austin's face in the double thing in their face. I mean, Shane, do you have any other ones that you can think of? You said Bad Blood 97.
Well, that Josh said Bad Blood 97. Yes. I just corrected the place. Matches. Look, as much as we hate the guy personally, can't deny what he's done in the ring. You got to do Hogan Andre.
Yeah.
Hogan.
Yeah. Hogan only Andre. If they want to boo or hear the crowd boo somebody out there.
Yeah, but as I'm saying, like as much as you hate the guy personally, you can't deny that one. That match was a monumental match in Mania history. and still has one of the best Mania moments that's still talked about to this day.
Yes.
True. Agreed.
Another one. Honestly, if they played, if you wanted to, you could. I would say Triple H, Shawn Michaels, SummerSlam 2002.
That's another good one too. Mm-hmm. Sure. Go ahead.
I was gonna say again, if we have to bring like AEW into like helping out with situations, Shawn versus Chris Jericho, Mania 19.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of good ones, but like this has to be matches that people talk about for years that you're wanting to put into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can even go back as far as WrestleMania 1, Hogan and Mr. T versus Orton and Orndorff. You know?
Yeah.
You could.
As long as they keep Mr. T away from the mic, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Because he will just start talking a lot about treating your mama right.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, of course, the Secret Herbers, which is so over right now.
Yes.
It's so over. Defeated Caden Carter and Katana Chance. And by the way, I bet Matt Cardona is so legitimately happy for Chelsea Green's success right now.
Yeah.
And she's killing it. She has taken this opportunity and just ran with it. Mm-hmm. In more ways than I didn't think would be this good. For real.
She's taking that women's US championship and she's making it gold and she's putting the women's IC title to shame at the moment.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree. So Braun Strowman beat LA Knight by DQ, duh.
Yeah.
Who shows up to beat up Braun. So, but again, they're teasing the breakup here because Jacob Fatu, who is fighting Braun Strowman next week in a Last Man Standing match, says to Tama, that he'll beat LA Knight with or without the help. Is this losing the match that we think it is?
Yeah. We're definitely setting up Jacob Fatu as a face and having Solo Sikoa as a heel. So we're going to get Jacob Solo at Mania.
You think that's okay?
Jacob's white hot at the moment.
Yes.
He's got fans chanting Fatu in every arena that he goes to. He's over as at the moment. And I'm pretty sure Tungaloa is back on deck soon. So we're probably going to see, Jacob kicked out of the bloodline and doing his own solo thing, and Solo taking back the reins as the leader of the new bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the bloodline may be finally petering out a little bit.
Yes. Finally. It does seem like that.
Which is pretty good, not for nothing. So then Drew McIntyre ran into Scottish superstar Lewis Capaldi, who, by the way, fun fact, is, I believe, the nephew of...
Cousin.
Cousin?
It is cousin of former doctor... from Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi.
Definitely cousin once removed. That's right. Very good.
Yep.
And then Damian brawls with Drew, and of course the Damian slammed Drew through a car windshield and legitimately got a piece of something in his eye.
Glass. It's real glass. Crimea River.
Well, according to Drew, it said according to PWI, that Drew tweeted about real glass, and that while he was not hurt, he did have a piece of glass in his eye. After speaking with sources, we're told that McIntyre did receive treatment to have something cleared from his eye, but it was not glass. And he was cleared by medical, and he wore an eye patch backstage. And but tough bastard. And of course, yes. We had the main event. Now, so a couple of other things before we wrap up this week, which is kind of interesting. This involves in the drama we didn't want to see, Linda Hogan and Brooke are at war. They're at war. And it's playing out publicly, and it's ugly. I don't want to get into it, but it's really gross and disgusting, actually.
Yeah.
You know, Linda looked horrible. And this is the only thing. It made me sad for Hulk, man. Seriously. Because if he had to deal with that for so many years, good grief. You know?
But hang on. Linda Hogan is saying stuff that a lot of people agree with, that Hogan and has had multiple stories said about him, that he's an arrogant, selfish asshole.
But look,
and the thing with Brooke and her, that's their thing. I think Brooke's still upset that her mother slept with one of her friends, but it's one of those situations. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that I don't know why this is getting attention. Like, I swear to God, Terry's done this just to friggin' get heat off him. God, all right, Linda, I need some damage control here. Like, Linda, I need damage control here. Can you make yourself look worse? I'll pay you thousands of dollars. Oh, sorry, just because we got the legal eagle here. Allegedly, he said this. Allegedly.
Just allegedly, it'll all work out just fine. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Because it is all alleged, and it's all being planned, and it's all gross. Now, I want to tell you about something kind of fun that's not on the call sheet, actually.
Oh?
Now, remember that there has been a new Warner Brothers film called The Day the Earth Blew Up.
Yes, this is actually a Looney Tunes film.
Right, which has done very well at the box office and has given hope, this is why I say this, for the release of the highly touted film Coyote versus Acme. Now, why do we talk about this? Because John Cena was the lawyer for Wile E. Coyote, correct? I believe.
I think it's Will Forte.
Okay, hold on. John Cena.
Acme Corporation is John Cena.
So he's actually the lawyer for. Yes.
Go ahead.
The company is called Ketchup Entertainment, I believe the company's name is. And they are rumored that Warner Brothers wants to sell the film to them for $50 million so that it could actually be distributed.
Yeah.
Which I hope they actually do it. And on a sad note, the Looney Tunes headquarters on the Warner Brothers lot has been razed and destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Because, once again, David Zaslav hates animation.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. Congratulations to Dwayne Johnson on the fact that Terramana Tequila has just celebrated their 5th anniversary. And is one of the top tequila and spirit brands, not just in the United States, but worldwide.
Doesn't surprise me.
So now, we have a record, don't we, I believe, Josh, when it comes to one of the musics for WrestleMania?
Oh, yes, yes. We actually, during SmackDown, learned the new theme, or the theme for this year's WrestleMania. It is a song called Timeless. It is by The Weeknd and Playboi Carti. For those wondering, The Weeknd has been tied with WrestleMania now for the last 6 years. Since 2020.
Okay.
Let me see here. I want to see here because it's, yeah, there it is. The six songs in order from WrestleMania 37 or 36. Blinding Lights, 37, Save Your Tears, 38, mm-hmm. Sacrifice, 39, Less Than Zero, last year, Gasoline. Mm-hmm. And this year, Timeless. That is the most times that a artist has been put into the WrestleMania soundtrack as a main theme.
Wow.
The closest would be technically the Mania theme that Jim Johnston did for WrestleMania.
You mean that one?
Yes.
Yep.
It's 93. It's time for WrestleMania.
Right, okay. From when to when?
That started in 93, and I think it went to 2000.
Okay, so they got... Okay, all right. But good for The Weeknd. Congratulations. Now, Shane, we need to talk to you on this last one, actually.
Okay.
Saraya is now gone from AEW. Okay.
My queen is coming back. My queen is coming back home.
You think so?
Oh, she's made it abundantly clear she wants to come back to WWE. She made it very apparent.
Do you think the WWE will let her? I say yes.
Hell yeah.
There's a possibility.
There is so much you could do. There's so much you could do with her. Like, one, she's medically cleared, so she's allowed to wrestle. Sorry, this is just fantasy booking, ladies and gentlemen, for myself. But I would be putting her in a tag team with her and Rhea. Sorry, just Drool Central. There's so much you could do. So much you could do with her. And if you're gonna like put her in a GM role, like depending on if you're gonna make Nick Aldis an active competitor. I don't know. You could have her be SmackDown of GM again. Of SmackDown again. Sorry, but it all depends on what they're doing. On what they're wanting her to be, either a wrestler or a competitor, a wrestler or a manager.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
I reckon she comes back. I reckon she comes back as a wrestler for a little bit, and then she retires. She's made it very clear. She's made it very clear her time with wrestling's coming to an end sooner than later. So I think she's going to get a Edge deal, pretty much, and she'll do limited days. And yeah,
that sounds about right.
I think she comes back and retires from the WWE, maybe does another 1 or 2 year run, maybe.
Yeah, because remember, despite her being only 33 years old, she's a 20-year vet.
Yeah,
and she's been injured way too much.
If you ask Brittany or Soraya, whatever you want to call her, she's actually been in the business for 30 years, but
because
she was wrestling since the womb. So yeah.
But I think that I think I would love to see her back. Give her one last run, and let's see what she can do with it.
I'll actually put this out here right now. If Soraya comes back, and a lot of people are in agreement, if Soraya comes back, you might as well kick the door wide open for an AJ Lee return.
I'd be okay with that.
Because her and AJ are her and AJ are really good friends. And I think if WWE treats Paige good, I'm going to call her Paige now because she no longer gets to be called Saraya.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Paige comes back, then I reckon she'll be and she's treated well. I think you're going to see a lot of comeback from women who felt like WWE mistreated them because that'll give them hope that things have changed, and that's why that's a reason why AJ's sort of held off a bit, even though her husband's getting great treatment now, and Triple H even revealed what he said to him in that phone call.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He was basically point blank and honest with him. He said, "Listen, Phil, if you're the same guy that you were 10 years ago, then you wasted 10 years of your life."
Right, exactly. I heard that. He said that in the press conference, too. I saw that on Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He said, because everyone wanted to know what he said with the phone call. And he said, in Stephanie's thing, he said, "Yep, well, I said to him, look, if you're the same guy you were 10 years ago, you wasted 10 years of your life. Same with me. If I'm the same guy I was 10 years ago, I've wasted 10 years of my life, but we're not the same. Not the same people. Let's move past this and let's build something new.
And let's make some money." And they did. And as I said earlier, CM Punk is on another level right now. I think when he went to AEW, I'm just going to say this. When he had the ability to become a superstar in AEW, if he wanted to, he did. And he had a decent run in AEW for those years. But it was the kids running the ship. It really and truly was. And I think he was forced out, you know? I think he was forced out. I don't think he would have been back in WWE if AEW was run more professionally. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Look at all the people abandoning ship and coming back to WWE. I mean, you've got Punk, who was, "I am never coming back to this place." Aleister Black's coming back. You've got Penta, Rey Fenix, Lexus King, Ricky Saints. Ethan Page. You've got rumors that Miro's coming back, or Rusev's coming back to WWE. Right. Like, all these guys that left are coming back, or all the guys that were AEW loyalists are coming over. Grass isn't always greener on the other side, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's just have one more conversation about this, okay? Is there, because I had this conversation with Nikki, and Nikki, we miss you, of course.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you, Josh, is there one person from AEW that if they went over back to the WWE or came to the WWE, that it would be the death knell for AEW? Because I'm not sure there is one.
Not really. The closest thing is Omega. And the problem is Omega is already is pretty much on his last legs. If he gets hurt again, his career is done.
Right. And he's also over 40, right?
Just barely. You think he's 40, 41 right now.
Okay. I have to ask the question. What if MJF jumped ship?
The thing is, that would mean, I don't know.
This is not a knock on Max, okay?
Yeah.
But not a knock on Max. But if he made a jump, I don't think the needle's moving all that much.
No.
No, not anymore. If it was 2 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
Do you you want to know? Okay, you want to know who, in my opinion, is going to be the one who makes the needle move? Who's going to make the needle move? It's not even someone who's originally from AEW. In fact, it's someone who's having one of the shittest storylines at the moment. And if he did come back, people would lose their friggin' minds and they'd be changing the channel very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Nikki's roommate, Mox.
Yes.
If Mox goes back to WWE, then people are going to tune over to see the return of Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. You know, and yes, Mox has had one of the crappiest storylines, and again, you know, and the stupidest bump with the fucking spiked bat, right? Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Ricochet, who finally got married this week.
Karrion Kross actually shared some photos from that with him, Scarlett, Ricochet, and Samantha. And Samantha looked gorgeous. Well, like, that's a surprise to anybody.
Samantha looked amazing. Samantha looked amazing. And I also want to put in a plug in for the Chris Van Vliet this week, who, by the way, is just such a great interviewer. He's so good. He did an interview with Lillian Garcia this week. And she talked about how she was basically down to, like, no income before she got the call to come back to WWE. She was, she was done. And she stepped away to take care of her father and to take care of her parents. And she sacrificed everything. And she's now going to be at Saturday night's main event, but she's still with the WWE family. And she talked about the 3-minute warning spot. She talked about the Viscera storyline and how much fun she had and how the bump she took, she didn't realize it wasn't foam, it was just boards, and she got the wind knocked out of it from that Samoan drop. And they lifted her up. They tossed her. Have you seen the clip? Or have you watched the clip? Good grief, they tossed her about a foot up before bang. You know?
Oh, not only that one, but the one where she got knocked off the ring apron.
She said that was a legit accident. She said that was a legit accident.
She's like, I didn't get out of the ring fast enough, and then my mate didn't even know what happened until Drew whispered in his ear, he's like, you knocked her off the fucking apron.
Yes, exactly. Good grief. But it's a great interview, and by the way, he really asked the good question. And he will get stuff out of everybody, you know. He really, you know, he's, when I see somebody who I like, we'll do an interview with Chris Van Vliet, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. Like the one where it was a work shoot with Dominic Mysterio, and he asked about what his tender toppings would be and things like that. It's just little stuff like that. That's just really good. Chris Van Vliet, excellent interview, and just all that good stuff. But the road to WrestleMania is going to be hot, and we're live this week at 4 p.m. Eastern on Netflix. Again, you can watch it at any time.
Yep.
And of course, NXT will be leading towards Stand and Deliver, and of course, AEW is leading towards Dynasty, which, by the way, I believe is this coming
week? I believe it's this coming Sunday, April 6th.
Yes, it is. Well, let's talk about the card. Because they've got six cards there. You've got Kenny Omega, Ricochet, and Speedball Mike Bailey for the AEW International Championship. Wow, that's going to be good. Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole for the AEW TNT Championship. No time limit, no outside interference. Chris Jericho versus Bandido, title versus mask for the ROH World Championship.
So Bandido's taking it. Hopefully.
Yep. Hopefully. Trios match for the AEW Trios, the Death Riders versus Rated FTR. That's Cassinoli, Pack, and Wheeler Yuta versus Cope, Cash Wheeler, and Dax. Timeless Tony Storm versus Megan Bain. John Moxley versus Swerve Strickland, who had some interesting things to say about marketing black champions. Did you hear about this week? I believe
no.
Let me pull this up because I knew. Let me just double check. He said, he's fired shots at WWE, Triple H, and Booker T. Okay. And this was on Vlad TV. He said, he answered about Booker T saying he was not treated fairly in WWE. He says, that's not what happened when Vince said the N-word in front of you. That's not being treated fair, in my opinion. To say that statement is not even what I'm saying. I'm saying what people are saying. I'm saying what your audience is saying. So it's not just me talking about my ass out of nowhere. It's what your audience has been complaining about for the better part of 2-3 years from that scene, black talent even getting singles matches on PLEs and stuff like that. Now these guys are on social mall. They talk back and forth with the fans a little bit more, so you can't ignore that. And he also talked about Triple H not seeing color. He said, since that quote, you're hearing quotes from Triple H saying he doesn't see color in press conferences. So after someone actually calling them out at that press conference saying, oh, why is there no African-American talent? You put the black celebrities in the audience. Those black celebrities who I know and I'm friends with, they want to see the same people that represent them in these shows, and they're not seeing that. I'm not saying anything brutal or mean or disrespectful to the company. I'm just regurgitating what your fan base is telling you. So what that you're hearing that and giving what they're giving. So it's not like me saying, oh, woe is me, I'm bitter. I moved on and I got my money and I created my own values. I respect that. I get that. I understand
I call bullshit.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
Sorry, but don't Swerve can sit there all day and say that he doesn't have sour grapes, but don't fucking lie to people. You absolutely have sour grapes. And it wasn't even Triple H that got you shit canned. You threw your own buddy under the fucking bus multiple times and said it was Top Dollar that got your ass canned because he got too aggressive about wanting to find out B-Fab's location with people. And that was the reason why you guys got original heat in the first place. And then he apparently did something else that got you guys completely fired altogether. So don't say that it was that's not sour grapes, because it is sour grapes. It's like when Bobby Lashley talks and he says, "Oh, Triple H," it's like, or MVP talk. It's like, just because, oh, Vince pushed me back when Vince was running things, but when Triple H took over, we weren't getting pushed. You know why that was? It was because Vince McMahon loved the big, muscly looking friggin' dudes that people would exactly.
Who did he love to push? Let's name names. Let's go with names. Ahmed Johnson, Batista, Ludwig Borga, Brock Lesnar, who
else? Lee.
He wasn't muscular. Braun Strowman, just saying, okay?
Yeah. He loved this big old muscly guy.
It's
sour grapes. And look, Swerve, you're not the first ex WWE guy that has like had sour grapes and friggin' like and tried to pretend like, oh, I'm not sour about anything, but you are. Like, let's be real. Like, yes, congratulations, you've turned things around. But let me ask a question here. It seems though he wants to go down Race Avenue. Where are AEW's black champions? Except for her business. Anybody?
Mercedes.
Mercedes is half half. I'm talking about Oba Femi level. Ring of Honor, not AEW.
Yeah, because if you include Ring of Honor, you do include Athena in that miss.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah, and but it's not. Okay, let's put it to you this way. If you're gonna say ROH is like the NXT of AEW, then fair enough. I'll go with that. But it's legit fact. Your only black champions are the tag team champions.
Yeah.
And congratulations, we've got that on WWE as well with Street Profits.
Yep.
And the fact is that we have said this before, the wrestling industry has been racist. Okay?
Yes.
We have said this before, and it's not anything new. That being said, the WWE is making efforts to have women and men of color, okay, as champions. As we said, look, Trick Williams, Melo, as you said, Oba Femi, Bianca Belair, good grief, okay? Bianca Belair is one of the top five women, not just in the WWE, in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And how many African-American girls look up to Bianca Belair as a fucking role model? Lots of them.
Yeah.
Okay? And honestly, with all due respect, a lot of non-African-American girls. Because they're cool. Like Rhea Ripley is. Like Io Sky is. Oh, by the way, she's Asian, too. So why don't we just stop talking about race? And let's talk about who the fuck is over. May it be black, white, purple, whoever it is. You know what I mean? I mean, the biggest guy over the last 5 years in the WWE, outside of Cody Rhodes, happens to be a person of color named Roman Reigns, named Joe Anoa'i, who happens to be Samoan. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, I mean, look. You have... I mean, look, one of the biggest champions of the early 21st century was a guy who's half black and half Samoan named Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
So, Swerve, with all due respect, you didn't get over in the WWE, and now you're over now in AEW. Good for you. Okay? Good for you. Okay? Top Dollar, by the way, is making his name in TNA, and you know what? Good for him, too. I want everybody to be successful no matter what color, orientation you are, sexuality, race, gender. As long as you entertain us and tell the right fucking story, go for it. I'm okay with this. I mean, look, Zach Allen was a one-legged guy who was got over, right?
Yeah.
Please, just stop your bitching and get the fuck over. That's what I'm just saying. And you don't have to do it in death matches, and you don't have to do it, okay? Swerve got over because he was over, and you know what? Tony Khan fucked you up the ass and made you a transitional champion. That's what he did. Your bookie sucked. Otherwise, you would have been a bigger superstar than Monster, anybody in AEW. But no, you got to pull the fucking race card. Shut up. It's all crap. I'm sorry to end this on just like a crazy note, but I'm tired of this, you know, I'm not over because, you know, there's not enough representation. Over the last 5 years, WWE has made more effort to make representation happen in the WWE than I think any company in the history of wrestling. Do you agree with that? So,
stop
anyway.
the words of CM Punk, stop the man when he's telling lies.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Oh, wow. So I'm exhausted. So I think we need help. Shane, you have anything?
No, actually, I got to get going.
All right, thank you for coming.
Thank you. So, Josh,
yes.
I want to start with WLTI this week because it was
okay.
We'll get to you in a minute. So,
right.
Because we had one of the most beautiful moments in Survivor history.
Yes, I actually did get to see a little bit of that.
How awesome was that? I mean,
that
really.
What? Wow, I never expected that.
And it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's where representation matters. You had an autistic woman named Eva having a mental breakdown. After
borderline panic attack, because I've been there. I've done that.
Me too. I've been there. And Joe, the fireman from a different tribe, was allowed to come over and settle her.
Yeah.
It renewed my faith in humanity. It was one of the best game show moments this year.
Yes.
We'll talk more about Drag Race. We'll talk more about Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and all the shows as we're heading into, believe it or not, the month of April, and May sweeps just around the corner.
Yep.
So, Josh, what's happening on the other shows we talk about?
Knickknacks eventually, don't know when. This week on it was Athena on TV, Eisenhower and Lutz, a late 1980s show starring Scott Bakula about being a skeevy ambulance driver or chaser with a heart of gold. It didn't do well. Next week, Bay City Blues, a minor league baseball show or a sitcom. I'm not sure if it's a sitcom or not, but it's about minor league baseball. It had a massive cast, 18 people. It lasted 8 episodes. And yeah, you can find all of it on itwasathenontv.com.
And of course, the BS Big Show will be back in about 3 weeks for the NFL draft.
This soon.
Yeah, Thursday, April 23rd. Yeah. I mean, we're coming up on the clock, the road to, I believe it is Santa Clara, right? Yeah. And, of course, Nikki would be remiss to talk about all the artist shout outs, and we love all our artists, and I will just name one or two. Of course, our friend Jamie Cloutier, of course, Otanod, and any of the artists we talk about, of course, I will repeat what she said. Please pay the artist well. If you repost it, credit the artist. Do not steal any copyrighted material. That is the most important thing. Credit and pay, and you'll be good. You have a lot of wrestling artists that are out there that are willing to draw your work. So next week, Josh, of course, you and I, and of course, hopefully Nikki, will be talking about the road to WrestleMania. We'll review Dynasty, and we are 3 weeks away from Vegas. Oh my God, it's too late.
We'll still continue talking about Dynasty because it won't happen just yet.
Oh, that's right, because it'll be next weekend. That's right.
Yes.
It'll be next weekend.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't have anything I was remembering.
No, that's okay. It's tired. We need to go to bed. So, of course, our good friend Nikki Heyman, our chief high muckety muck Carl Chenier, Bad News Beeman, and everyone here at 5-1, of course, my man Josh Henniger, staff boy.
Thank you.
Another Week in Wrestling is in the books, and we will be back next week. So for everyone here at the NAWC, good night and enjoy the rest.